We left off the previous year. We're still trying to pinpoint exactly what the obligation of eating a suda is on Yom Tov. And Shabbos was pretty clear that Gemara derived it from Sukkim, from the Achilles Hamon, three times. That's the Raisa, the Rabbana wasn't so clear, but the fact that there is a chiyuv of Gibel Sudas and Shabbos was pretty much agreed upon by everybody. When it comes to Yom Tov, it's a little bit less clear. Because on Yom Tov, we have one question we spoke a lot about. Is there a chiyuv of Gibel Sudas in terms of the Mon? And we probably assume that not. Ambinig is not. We don't eat Shalosh Shudas. We're not Machpid eat Shalosh Shudas on Yom Tov. So we follow the view of the Rosh against the Rambam. If that's the case, so then where did the Chiyuv of two Suddas come from? So we couldn't exactly pinpoint where that came from. We had some Rishonim who said it's a mitzvah of Simcha, and others said it's a part of Oneg, and some said it's part of Chavod. We were throwing around a lot of different terms earlier in the week to try to figure out what is the Mechayiv in the Suddas. But with all the dust settled, we still think it's there. We're still pretty convinced, I mean, you know, from our own practice, that there is a Chiyuv. We know that going from Shul, Yom Tov night, we sit down, the Kiddush, we wash. We know that we do the same thing on Yom Tov day. So we are pretty confident, at least till the end of the year now, pick up it right now, that there is such a Chiyuv. We're not as confident where the Chiyuv comes from, but the fact that the Chiyuv exists, so that we're pretty sure about. However, we now have to take a step back and say, wait a second, maybe we have to question our very practice. Who said that you have to eat two sudas on Yom Tov? Vishtay, that you have to wash on Yom Tov. So there was one Gemara that we saw on Wednesday, where the Gemara talks about the person who didn't bench, or at least he benched, but didn't bench completely. He left out Ritzay, or he left out Yalvi Avon Yom Tov. Does he have to repeat the benching or not? So the Gemara said, absolutely yes. The Gemara says that if a person forgot Ritzay on Shabbos, you have to repeat the benching. You forgot Yalvi Avon Yom Tov, you have to repeat the benching. What was the rationale? So the Gemara said explicitly, unlike Rosh Chodesh, where you weren't obligated to eat the suda in the first place, if you left out Yalav Yom Rosh Chodesh, the world's not going to come to an end. But if you left out Ritzay or Yalav Yom Yom Tif, that's a problem, because you have to eat a suda, you have to wash, you have to eat chai, you have to bench on Shabbos and Yom Tif, and therefore the omission of Ritzay Yalav Yom is significant. So that Gemara sounded very, very clear that you have to wash, you have to eat chala. Again, the Gemara didn't explain to us why you have to, so all the possibilities of before are still on the table, but the fact that there's an absolute outright obligation to eat bread on Yom Tov seems pretty clear in that Gemara. The problem is that the Gemara Masechta Sukkah doesn't seem to say that. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah is discussing what your obligation or lack thereof is of Sukkahs after the first night. So we pass in the halacha that after the first night of Sukkahs, you don't really have to eat in the Sukkah. Now that's a little bit of a tricky statement. What that means is, if you choose to eat food that's not considered to be derech dira, you choose to eat an apple, have a bag of potato chips, have a cup of coffee, you choose to do things that are not dira oriented, are not really living oriented, things you would do on the run anyway, so then you don't have to do those in the sukkah. But if you choose to have dira meaning either washing or maybe mizonos, maybe other kinds of foods possibly, if you choose to eat more kavua types of foods, then it must be done in the sukkah min haTorah. The person decides to have a sandwich on the third day Chol HaMoed, and something that's a bitul mitzvah deraisa of a superstition with Yavim. But nobody told you to have the sandwich in the first place. You're not mechuyev to. The only time you're absolutely mechuyev to go into the sukkah to eat is on the first night of sukkahs, and that is derived from the comparison to Pesach. So let's take a look back at that Gemara, the 10th of the Marmakomos, because that Gemara is going to become somewhat controversial. So it's two lines from the bottom, 10th of the Marmakomos. So says the Gemara, Verabbanan Tidira. According to the Chachamim, the mitzvah of Sukkah is patterned after how you live in your house. Madira ibay ochli ibay lawachim. Just as when it comes to your house, if I choose to skip dinner tonight, I skip dinner. Who's going to stop me? I'm not mechuyev to eat supper tonight. So just as in your house, you have the option of skipping. Av sukkanami ibay ochli ibay lawachim. So too in Sukkis, you have the option of skipping a meal. So unlike Rabbi Eliezer, who maintained you have to eat 14 meals in the sukkah every single year, 2 meals a day, say the Rabbanan, it's not true. That's not called Dira. Dira gives you an option. Dira is a leniency. It gives you an option of skipping a meal. And therefore, on the first night, that's not for matzah, that's not negotiable. After the first night, Iboy Ochli Boy Lawachil. So come to Rishon and say, wait a second. After the first night, Iboy Ochli Boy Lawachil, you don't have to eat after the first night? I understand. What about the first day of lunch? What about Yom Tov day. Isn't that Yom Tov? Of course you have to eat. What do you mean you buy achli buy lo achel? Of course you have to eat. So doesn't this Gemara Masechet Sukkah seem to be denying the obligation of Sukkah Yom Tov? The Gemara is highlighting, emphasizing how important it is to eat in the Sukkah the first night. That's the right for matzah. That's the neraisa. You have no choice. That's all true. But the Gemara seems to be downplaying anything subsequent, including the first day's lunch. So come to Rishayim and say, unlike the Gemara in Brachas, it said that you must eat a yontif meal. The Gemara in Sukkah seems to be ignoring that obligation. So how do we resolve this contradiction? So we take a look at the 11th of the Mamakamos.
Even according to Shabbos, too.
Yeah, yeah, it's also going to be a problem. Right. The Gemara is ignoring the Shabbos part also. Right. The Gemara is ignoring the Shabbos part. So let's take a look at the 11th of the Ramakamos. We'll pick it up from Hilchos Chinuyot Rabbeinu Yehuda. We mentioned Rabbeinu Yehuda earlier in the week in a little bit of for a different point. Let's go back to the main point of Rabbeinu Yehuda. It's the sixth line from the bottom. A couple of lines in. Of course, a person is obligated to eat bread on Yontif, as the Gemara Bracha says, mishum simcha, because that is an integral part of the bits of Simchas Yontif, mishum chalkeyu chetzi lachila, because the Gemara Maseches Pesachim uses a phrase of chatzi lachem and chatzi lachem, half the day you spend in your own pursuits. And the Gemara says, what are examples of your own pursuits? Achila ushtia, the Gemara used that phrase. So what does achila mean? And the main part of achila is bread. So other Rishonim turn to Rabbeinu Yehuda and say, that's not true. The main part of achila is also other things that you enjoy in Yontif. But Rabbeinu Yehuda saw that in the obligation of achila, the din of lachem, the din of Yontif, is an obligation to wash at the bench on Yontif. So what does the Gemara mean when it says Masechet Sukkah? That after the first night, there's no obligation to eat in the sukkah. The ibay lo achil, you don't have to. You can ignore eating a meal. Hachik amar. What it means is this: rishus mishum sukkah ulolim chavi mishum sukkah yontif. The Gemara wasn't discussing whether you're going to be eating or not. The Gemara was discussing: is there an obligation of sukkah or not? All the Rabbanim meant to say is that the first night of sukkahs is padded after the first night of Pesach. That's the Xerishavah Khanishasa. And the subsequent days of Sukkot are padded after the subsequent days of Pesach. So in Pesach, we know the Erev Tov L'Matzah. The first night, you have to eat matzah no matter what. Third day Chalamot, you want to eat potatoes and apples and oranges and not wash on the third day Chalamot. There's a day, you can't eat chametz, but you don't have to eat matzah after the first night. So the exact same parallel carries over to Sukkot. The first night is the Chiyuv Gomer Min HaTorah, and subsequent days is either you know that if you choose to eat bread and cake and things like that, it has to be done in Sukkot, but nobody told you that you have to do that in the first place. So says Rabbeinu Yehuda, all the Gemara in Sukkot means when it says that after the first night, it's voluntary, not obligatory. That means it's voluntary vis-a-vis Sukkah. The Gemara is not even talking about whether you have to eat a Suda. You have to eat a Suda? Of course you have to eat a Suda. Why? Because it's Yontif. Why do you have to eat a Suda and Yontif? Because the Suda is Yontif. So it comes to the Rosh and says, wait a second. That Teretz, it sounds so simple, not at all simple. We're talking about, how about Talia? The cave in Shu Ochel, Tzarech Sheyochel, B'Sukkah. So it says the Moshe Beis, what are we talking semantics? Tachlis, a guy comes on Yontif morning and asks, Rabbi, am I obligated to eat bread right now? The answer is, of course you are. Simple as Yontif. Rabbi, do I have to do that in the Sukkah? Of course you are. Of course you do. You can't eat bread out of the Sukkah. So basically, the rabbi's telling him, you have to eat in the Sukkah. So what's the thing we're talking about? The Gemara says that on the first night of Sukkah, you have to be in the Sukkah. And the first day of Sukkah, you don't have to be in the Sukkah. It's not true. You have to be in the Sukkah on the first day because you have to eat bread because of Yontif. And once you have to eat bread, the male, you have to be in the Sukkah. So what's the difference? So what do we, we're telling them about the following, the rabbi gets up first night of Sukkah, the following Shtimotar. On the first night, you must eat in the Sukkah. On the first day, you don't have to eat in the Sukkah. So then when somebody taps him on the shoulder and says, Rabbi, do I have to eat challah now for lunch? Of course you do. Does challah have to be in the Sukkah? Of course it does. So what did you tell me, Shtimotar, last night, that the first night, yeah, the first day, no. It's not true. Rabbi says, at the end of the day, it's not true. At the end of the day, there is no distinction between the first night and the first day. Once you're obligated to eat in the sukkah in the daytime because of Simchas Yontif, and all eating of bread must take place in the sukkah, but mainly you have to eat in the sukkah. So what do you have to be trying to, that only on the first night, yeah, and the subsequent days, no. So comes the Rashi continues, the Yeshlema Meshkachas law, there'll be a big difference. Kigon Shu with Stair, you read this Kishavim. The Eino Yichayev Lechol B'Sukkah. Wait a second. First day lunch, it's raining. I'm not eating the sukkah. It's raining. You go to Kishavim, Misha says, you don't eat the sukkah. It's painful. It's not comfortable. You don't have to, you don't eat the sukkah. But the obligation of Sukkot Yontif is still there, and you have to eat a suda. Where is that suda going to take place on the first day of lunch? In your house, like your Shavuos and Shemitah Teres and Rosh Hashanah suda as well. It's a regular Sukkot Yontif, and that takes place mamish in the comfort of your own dining room. However, not so simple. But when would we say that, of course, you have to eat a yontif meal, but it can be done in the comfort of your home? That's after the first night. But Belayla Rishona, the Chol Inyan Chova, says the Rosh, on the first night, all bets are off. On the first night, even if it's pouring a torrential rain, it has to be done in the Sukkah as well. Why? Because let's say it was raining into your house on Pesach. So you put the from matzah. You have to do with your gebroch dishes, but it's raining, it's pouring. The rain's coming down on your matzah. You still have to eat your matzah. So you have to eat your matzah in the pouring rain, and you have to eat the sukkah in the pouring rain on the first night of sukkahs. Subsequently, that. So the Rosh and the Rebbe Yehuda came with a chat. We have the first night and subsequent days part ways. That is there an obligation to eat sukkahs yontif? Of course. 95% of the time, is there going to be any real difference between the first night and the subsequent days? No. This is going to be the sukkah. That's going to be the sukkah. The only time there's going to be a difference if it's raining on the first night, yes, and the subsequent days, no. And that's what the Gemara meant when it said that in theory you don't have to eat in the sukkah after the first night. The first night you're chayk l'yava, even the pouring rain. After that, then you get a freebie.
Could be an afternoon also say, guy decides I'm not making kiddush on the first night. I'm not washing the first night. I don't want bread. I don't want wine. I just want a bag of potatoes to eat. So probably have to eat in the sukkah on the first night.
First night, no matter what. Right, no matter what, right. So this is a shit is a rush. So this rush is a tremendous chiddush because he's trying to answer this kasha. How can we resolve the statement? He had to come up with this razzle dazzle category called that Yeridus Kishamim is a poter on subsequent days. It's not a poter in the first night. Now why is that? What's the lumdus? I know probably most people are not thinking in the sukkah mode right now. We're Purim slash Pesach season upon us, but I got to go back 6 months to the Yad Vesukis, or 6 months ahead to the Yad Vesukis. Why should this be so exactly? Why should such a distinction be? Why is it that the Rosh Rabbeinu Yehuda claiming on a level of Deraisa, when it's pouring rain in Chol HaMoed, you're a fool to be eating in the Sukkah. The Yushami says, if a person eats in the Sukkah in the rain, Nikra Hedya, you're a fool, it's full of nonsense. Narishka, you gain nothing for eating in the Sukkah in the rain. On the first night, you mechuyim in their eyes. You make a leishah. But sukkah, according to the Rosh, it's a chiyuv government authority. The sukkah in the pouring rain. Mayai, what's the reason? What's the difference between the two? So clearly, what the Rosh is saying is as follows. Now, if we go back to that Gemara for a moment, back to the tenth of the Maimakomos, with the second line, the tenth of the Maimakomos, it's chomer omer ein adam kitzvah. The Chachamim said that you don't really have to eat X amount of sudas in the sukkah. You want to skip lunch and chomoy, that's okay. Chutz b'leil yad v'rishu chad b'lad, with the exception of the first night. How did the Chacham know that? So the Gemara later on explains that the Chacham tells we have a gezeirah shavu. We have a tradition all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu that compares Pesach to Sukkot. It says the phrase chamisha asar concerning Pesach. It says chamisha asar concerning Sukkot. So there are many, many halachas that derive one from another. So one of the comparisons between the two, say the Chacham is, just as the first night of Pesach, you have to eat matzahs, so to the first night of Sukkot, you have to eat the Sukkot. So one can raise the following question, the following chakira. What is the nature of this mitzvah, of this halacha, that you have to eat in the Sukkot on the first night of Sukkot? It's a strange thing, because you don't have to the rest of the week. The rest of the week, you can live on your potatoes chips and your fruit. You have to eat in the Sukkot on the first night. What is the nature of that halacha? One can understand that in one of two ways. Either one can understand, it's the same mitzvah of sukkah. One of the tag mitzvahs is basukkah station shivas yamim, but the mitzvah of shivas sukkah has two parts to it. The sukkah A and sukkah B. Sukkah A is the mitzvah of sukkah the entire week. So the mitzvah of sukkah all week is basukkah station shivas yamim. It's derech rishus. You don't really have to. Just as madira, Just as in your house, if you want to skip a meal, that's okay. So too, if you want to skip a meal, the sukkah, that's also okay. The nature of the mitzvah of sukkah plays out throughout the duration of the week in the following manner. And that same mitzvah changes a just tiny bit on the first night. Unlike the rest of the week when it's b'toras v'shus, on the first night it's b'toras chova. So that tour that you have all week, not to go out to the sukkah, if you're not interested in eating bread or cake or something like that, that tour disappears on the first night. But the mitzvah is the same. It's hini mukhul the kind mitzvah shom, basukah stesh shom. Except for that little bit of a quirk, it's otherwise identical to the mitzvah of sukkah throughout the week. Or maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe scratch the first night. First night is not part of Yishuv B'Sukkah. The mitzvah of Yishuv B'Sukkah is a mitzvah, is derech v'shus. You don't have to do it. If you choose not to eat cake, mezonos, bread, pasta, syrup, you don't want to, then don't do it. You're not mechuv to. So why is it that the first night you have to eat? It's a different mitzvah. We mislabeled the mitzvah, misnamed the mitzvah. The mitzvah of the first night is a new mitzvah Torah called Chayev Adam Lecho Kizai is Dogan Belel Chamisha Osar. The obligation is to eat on the 15th. 15th of we have who? There are two different months of the 15th. There's the 15th of Nisan and the 15th of Tishrei. Chayev Adam Lecho Kizai is Dogan. You have to eat Kizai's of grain on those two nights. However, the Torah tells us that that mitzvah's Achilas Kizai is Dogan is done in different ways. On Pesach, it's done Dafka with Matzah. If you take besides the fact that it's chametz, if you take a piece of challah, you're not yet to the mitzvah of achilas matzah, because that's not called matzah. So the erev tachlum matzahs. So the mitzvah achilah on leil chamish asa benisa has to be in a certain suit, a certain manner. That's called derech achilas matzah. The mitzvah achilah on the first night of sukkahs has to be in a sukkah. It doesn't have to be matzah; it can be challah also, but it has to be in a sukkah. So just as there are details as to what the achilah has to look like on Pesach night, there are details as to what the achilah has to look like on sukkah side. It has to be the kosher sukkah. But the name of the mitzvah is achilas kizai zdogim b'lel chamisha asar. It's not yeshiva b'sukkah anymore. The vehicle that's used to enable you to perform the mitzvah is a sukkah. You need a sukkah to be present in order to fulfill your mitzvah. But the name of your mitzvah is a mitzvah achilas. It's not really a mitzvah yeshiva. So my nafkah mina, pure semantics. I'm eating the piece of challah and I'm doing it in a sukkah. So the real lamdan is sitting in the sukkah and he's thinking, he's good. The guy next to him is sitting and thinking about it on the Yaakovid and Ashrosa Shechina and the circus, all that stuff. And this guy is my first bite of challah. The achila tik challah is the yeshiva tik challah is the sukkah. The name of the mitzvah is the sukkah. The tangential part of sukkah. Tachos. At the end of the day, eating the same piece of challah is going down the same masafkas. My nafkamina with achila yeshiva. Big nafkamina. There are certain halachas, certain leniencies that we have in the sukkah that emanate from the fact that it's a mitzvah yeshiva. The most famous of them is mitzta'er potter min ha-sukkah. If a person is uncomfortable, they don't have to sit in the sukkah. That's a startling halacha. We don't find that anywhere that a mitzta'er is potter min mitzvahs. So you have a person on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, comes to shul, but the kid is very loud. It's grating in my ears. I'm very, very uncomfortable. I got to go out. I got to leave. There's no p'tur mitzta'er. He can put his earplugs and tone it down the wedding, and I can't tell you, but he's not potter from tikkun shofar. Let's say a person comes the first night of Pesach, and he tells he's got a bad stomachache. He's not deathly ill. Got a stomachache. This hurts, that hurts. He's tired. He's been starved. He wants to go to sleep. It's not mitzvah. So you have to hear the shofar and you have to shake the lulav and you got to eat the matzah. But on sukkahs, all of a sudden the Torah says that's a little uncomfortable. I go out to the sukkah, I smell something. There's a skunk out there, very, very, very uncomfortable. I don't like to smell the skunk. You're allowed to go back inside the house. I go out to the sukkah, it's very, very cold. The sukkah, I put on one sweater, two sweater, I can't make myself comfortable. Finish, come out, you're not comfortable, you're not mechuyav to sit in the sukkah in the freezing cold. You go out to the sukkah, you're in the middle of, you're in Florida, it's 98 degrees outside, it's humid, it's hot, you can't stand it, it's impossible to sit there. So leave, you're allowed to leave the sukkah. Why is that? Because the sukkah, the Torah says, the sukkah is teshu. Teshu means ke'ein taduru. It means you have to mimic what your normal living is going to be. If you would be in a house, and it would be 98 degrees in your house, and the air conditioning is not working, and you would have a beautiful, comfortable, air-conditioned room next door, you would go next door, you'd leave your house. So, well, let's say I was in my house and I'm eating dinner and I have a terrible, terrible skunk smell. And I go next door, I won't smell it all. So you pick up your stuff, you go next door. So that's the din. When it comes to sukkah, you're allowed to leave the sukkah because keshuke eat aduru. And that's why the Gemara formulates the din. I'm a rabbi mitzvah potter in a sukkah. So it's a din proti. It's a unique din that governs only a sukkah. It doesn't govern any other mitzvahs.
Is eating and sleeping comparable, or sleeping had more of a chashivus than?
No, it's the same. It's the same thing. Eating and sleeping are the same. It's just that the degrees of mitzvah may be slightly different. I mean, it's probably much easier to cross the threshold of mitzvah for sleeping than it is for eating. Let's say, like the post can say, let's say it was raining earlier. It's not raining anymore, but it's dripping. It's a little drop here and there. So if, like, I've been eating, most people couldn't care less. If you were eating and you're sitting in your dining room, and once every 20 minutes have a little drop, somebody, you probably wouldn't pick everything up. And you might just finish a meal and go, but to sleep the night, every 2 minutes, I'm getting woken up by a drop of rain on my head. So then that's enough of a mitzvah. So the threshold to pass the mitzvah may be easier when it comes to a shame, not because it's a conceptual difference, because of the practical difference. The Rishon right there, it's very, very hard to figure out at what point is it uncomfortable enough that it's raining, it's dripping. At what point is it mitzvah enough? So the Mordechai writes, the answer is very simple. Just ask yourself the following question. Would you leave your house for an equivalent kind of a drip? So if the answer is no, you wouldn't. You put your rain hat on, or you put the cover over your head and go to sleep, so then you can't leave the sukkah. But if you're if it's something that would bother you, honestly would bother you in your house, and if you had an easy way out, you would probably just go next door, so then you're going to be part of the sukkah. I remember one of my boys told me that when they were in Eretz Yisrael, the Dira in Eretz Yisrael, so there was an air conditioning leak, and it leaked right over his bed. So every, you know, drip, 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 drip. So he used to sometimes think, you know, at what point should he go take his mattress, you know, throw it out and go in another room or go sleep somewhere else. So he used to always think to himself, this is the sukkah shaila. You know, you come back to your dira at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, love daf, you can pick everything up and it's not worth it. You head under the covers of joint. But if it's really, really, if it's pouring from the air conditioning leak, why the air conditioning is leaking and not being, that's another story, but that's not our discussion right now. But if it's bad enough to make you leave, so that's bad enough to make you have to leave the sukkah as well. So comes the rush, L'chor is taking a stand in the question as follows. This p'tur of Mitztar is potter min ha-sukkah. Is that true on the first night? What should that depend upon? Well, if you hold that the first night is a yeshiva basukkah, it's governed by all the rules and regulations and all the exemptions of yeshiva basukkah. So basukkah is teishvu. Teishvu get the duru, kicks in on the first night also. So if it's raining, you don't need a sukkah even on the first night. So why the rush say you do? Clearly, the Rosh understood that the mitzvah of sukkah the first night is not a mitzvah of yeshiva. It's a mitzvah of achila. It's like matzah. It's closer to matzah than it is to sukkah. And matzah, there's no p'tur of mitzvah in matzah. Therefore, the Rosh says, I don't care when there's a monsoon outside. You're chayiv in sukkah. The first night of sukkah is because it's not a mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah. It's a mitzvah of achila sukkah. Not everybody agrees to this rush. Many Rishonim, the Rambam doesn't say this anywhere. The Rambam writes that Yodu Gisham Pata Bera Sukkah. The Mishnah says the famous Yodu Gisham Pata Bera Sukkah. So comes the rush and says, no, that means after the first night. First night is different. The Rambam doesn't make any distinctions. Shulchan Aruch doesn't make any distinctions. Yodu Gisham Pata Bera Sukkah. Why is that? So the Chora, those Rishonim who say that you're potter from the sukkah, even on the first night, if it's raining, they're of the opinion, it's a bit of a shiva sukkah. It's a little bit of a quirk of a difference. It's up, that's all nice, true, but irrelevant. It doesn't get to the heart and soul of the mitzvah. The heart and soul of the mitzvah is a mitzvah yeshiva sukkah. So the mitzvah yeshiva sukkah lends itself to the p'tur of mitzvah, even on the first night. So now we have a major machlekes in Rishonim. As we all know, this is potentially very, very loaded, very, very significant machlekes. Baruch Hashem, this past year, sukkahs, we were saved from the shaila. Some of you may remember. It was Erev Sukkahs, it was raining the whole day. And according to all the weather maps, until about an hour before Yom Tov, it was supposed to rain well into the night, and everyone was going to have to deal with this machlekes, the rush and the other Rishonim. And then Baruch made a nice came home from shul, and all of a sudden the clouds parted ways, and Yishpizim came, and everyone sat kedachs in the most beautiful first night of sukkahs. But if it would have been raining, it would have been machlekes Rishonim. So according to the rush, you would have still had the sukkah even in the pouring rain with a bracha. According to the rush, chayiv chiv deraisa. And the Rambam says, there is no such chiyuv. And the machlekes, the Rambam, the Rosh, the Chora is about this very point, about what is the nature of the mitzvah of eating on the first night. If the nature of the mitzvah of the first night is ultimately yeshiva dekadim, like the Rambam, then the potter in the rain, even the first night. If the nature of the din is an achila dekadim, like the Rosh, then you would be chayiv. There is another curveball that's thrown to the circuit. Again, this is all trying just to understand these two Gemara, getting eventually circling back the lack thereof, thereof, of Sudas Yantar. But there's another curveball that gets thrown to the sukkah, and that is, when I have a sukkah and it's raining in the sukkah, why am I potter? Am I potter because, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Yad Yisham potter bin a sukkah. Why am I potter? Is it potter because of Mitzdayer? That's what the Rosh said. And then we can negotiate whether Mitzdayer applies the first night. Maybe it's potter for a different reason. So the Vilna Gaon has a one-liner in his Bir HaGra in Shulchan Aruch. Vilna Gaon says, you know why Yad Yisham potter bin a sukkah? You know why you leave the sukkah when it's raining? Because it's not a sukkah. When it's raining, it's not a sukkah. A sukkah means sochech, it has to be protection. If the sukkah is not providing you basic protection from the elements, it's a sukkah, it's not a sukkah. A guy who's eating in the sukkah in the rain, says the Vilna Gaon, it's like eating in your backyard. Yeah, it's not that I'm eating the sukkah, but I'm potter from sukkah. You're not eating the sukkah. Right now, b'shas, you read this kishamim, it's ancient, the Gaon uses the lashon of lav shem sukkah alone. It's not called the sukkah. If it's not called the sukkah, so it's not called the sukkah the first night either. You can pilfer from today till tomorrow whether it's a chivachila, chiv yeshiva, says the Gra, I don't care what it is. You're not doing a mitzvah. You are getting wet for nothing. You are ruining everybody's yontif and accomplishing absolutely nothing because it's kiv you're eating in your house. Lav shem sukkah Allah. That's a whole nother angle of the shalom. So hopefully we'll have to see that's shalom next week. So we'll go back to some sukkah shalom. Let's try to just to fine tune some of the details of this. And then eventually, hopefully, circle back to our major discussion in terms of how this impacts in terms of the chi of a lack thereof, so this of bread and yantif. Eventually, try to put all the pieces of this puzzle together.
Have a good Shabbos.
Hey, we shall have a good Shabbos.